You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, let's bring in Bram Weinstein. He's on the airwaves in Washington. He's also the voice of the Washington team and a very dear friend of mine for, gosh, I'm scared to say how long we've known each other, Bram, but welcome in, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
We wanted to have you on today just to kind of give us a fill and bring us up to speed in regard to Washington, because it's going to be an interesting Sunday for Giants fans, right? Giants take on the Cowboys. Okay, they're hoping, I would imagine, that Giants fans are hoping that Giants win, and then they're going to be sitting back. I said the Giants organization, their broadcast team, should put together like a Zoom watch party for fans so they can watch the Washington Eagles game with Giants players and their fans together, because obviously Giants fans are going to be rooting for the Eagles to upset Washington. So first and foremost, I think a lot is going to come down to who's playing quarterback. What is the latest with Alex Smith?
I will know more later today. They're being really, really tight-lipped about it. There is really, like, I really don't know how close he was to playing last week. I know what the reporting was and what they were saying, and they were putting out there that he was practicing. I don't think it takes a genius to figure out that the reason why Dwayne Haskins wasn't cut a week ago and was allowed to play was because they didn't feel like they had another choice, because they were fairly certain Alex Smith was not going to play. Cutting him this week doesn't change that logic of, well, that means Alex Smith is playing. It means that Haskins was definitively not going to play this week, and they did not want to spend an entire week talking about him again. So I could probably better answer that question tomorrow or Friday, because they're not telling us much. We're not seeing much. And I think that there's some gamesmanship going on. I put nothing past Smith to come back and play, considering what else he's come back from. But I don't know. I guess it would be probably the best way to put it. I don't know.
Very, very interesting. Let's just say, Alex Smith doesn't play. We saw Tyler Hinke come in and actually was quite impressive. But let me rewind for a second. You said, because I prefaced in my opening segment that I felt that the fact that that Washington has let Dwayne Haskins go, to me, that's a good sign that they feel more confident that Alex Smith will go. Very interesting that you're not combining the two. We'll shelf that for a second. But if Alex Smith cannot go and Hinkie gets another start, what did you see from him last week? Give me the positives, give me the negatives. How confident are you that he can engineer this team to avoid a loss against the Eagles?
I mean, it's hard to be really overly confident in him. I mean, the guy hasn't played in 2 years. He was taking final exams in business school when they asked him to go hole up in a hotel and be a COVID emergency quarterback. And he's 5'9". So, like, when he runs out onto the field, you're like, wait a minute. Hold on, slow down here. That said, he clearly is very competitive. Chase Young told us something really funny after the game where he went up to him when he was being put in and replacing Haskins last week. And he was, like, just trying to, like, boost his confidence. And Heinicke just turned around and goes, "This is what I do, man." And, like, ran out on the field, and this was riding a bike for him. And D'Angelo Hall, who's in the booth with me on Sundays, he really pushed back on, let's not get too excited about this, because Carolina was up by 14 points at the time. The clock was working against Washington. Terry McLaurin wasn't playing. The defense had really shut down Washington's passing game. And D'Angelo was saying, like, the Panthers were really playing off and letting everything just kind of go in front of them. And while Heinicke made a couple of really nice plays for them and made it semi-interesting by the end, I defer to him on this, that he felt like, don't take too much out of this. That said, it was clear on 7:30 on Sunday, Dwayne Haskins is not playing again this week under no circumstances, that they feel like this is just a better option. And that's why I go back to, I don't think it means Alex Smith is starting. I think it means Dwayne Haskins' time was completely literally up, and they didn't even want to spend the rest of the week even talking about the possibility of him playing again.
Interesting. Let's talk about some of the other players. Antonio Gibson comes back last week. Man, in fantasy, do you know he finishes top 10 running back in fantasy this year? Imagine that.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. How about this one? J.D. McKissic has the second most catches of a running back in the NFL. And I think Logan Thomas at least had the most catches in the NFC for tight ends this year. So Washington actually had a few fantasy studs that were sitting really under the radar this year.
Absolutely. Gibson, McKissick, you're absolutely right, especially, you know, majority of fantasy football leagues are PPRs, and Logan Thomas finished in the top 10 in regard to tight ends. But that was a feast or famine position in fantasy this year as well. But let's talk about Terry McLaurin, because he's just been absolutely phenomenal. And I know that he's been on the shelf the past, which, by the way, Terry McLaurin lost my second round or my first round of the playoffs, which did not allow me to advance to the second round because he got injured, like, what, a minute into the game. Unfortunately, but I know he's listed as doubtful. What are the chances of him suiting up and playing this week?
Not good. He had a high ankle sprain. He's been not practicing very much for over a month. It got worse a couple weeks ago. This dude's a gamer. Like, he's one of those, he typically plays through anything and everything, doesn't complain about everything, so this is serious. And I think that they're just hopeful to get through. And honestly, going into the game last week, by the end, you know, Haskins became a big deal. But going into it, we thought it was a way bigger deal that McLaurin wasn't in over Alex Smith not being in, because he really is the engine of their offense. He's the uncoverable player for them. And that got really accelerated. Like, they do not – we walked in going, we don't know who the number two receiver here is. We really weren't sure about McKissick or Thomas. They've turned out to be really revelatory for their offense. But we didn't see any other real weapons that looked reliable at this point. And that really manifested last week. And a lot of the blame goes on Haskins. But without McLaurin out there, they literally do not have a downfield passing game. And him being out this week is also a really big deal, whether it's Alex Smith or Taylor Heineke, or if for some reason they want to go with Steven Montez, which doesn't seem like the direction they would actually go here. I've been actually waiting to hear them pluck somebody off a practice squad, you know, that's a veteran quarterback to have as an emergency on the just in case too. You know, that obviously is not a very good scenario either, but I've been kind of waiting for that to happen too. And I think that would be a sign, if it does happen in the next day or so, that they are seriously concerned that Alex Smith is not going to play.
Bram Weinstein joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I've buried the lead, and the lead with this Washington team is their defense. Really, it's been the straw that has stirred their drink. Talk about this defense and how you think they could counter with Jalen Hurts that has infused new life in that Eagles offense. What do you expect from this defense this week?
So if they win, it's going to be because of it, or because the Eagles no-show, right? Because they have nothing to play for and the season's over and all that stuff, which is what we're kind of hoping for down here, that they do kind of no-show. And there are people like Fletcher Cox who may not play, you know, because he's already kind of dinged up, and why play week 17 when there's nothing on the line? So we're thinking that some of that may happen this weekend too, but the defense is the calling card of this team. I would argue their defensive line's as good as anybody's, if not better than everybody's. And they're young. It is what is going to propel them moving forward. Chase Young is going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Montez Sweat's had a better season than him on a consistent basis, frankly, on the other end, but doesn't get the publicity. Their two first-round pick interior defensive linemen have both been Pro Bowl-worthy, John Allen, Daron Payne. They have moments in games, and you guys will have, especially if the Giants win, you guys will be locked in watching to see what happens here. There are just times in the game where they become electric, and they take over the game. And the back seven is injured and okay, frankly. But the front is so good that it really covers up a lot of problems. And, you know, are they better off? Is Philadelphia better off with Jalen Hurts running around there over than Carson Wentz? Yes, this year, probably. But in this particular case, with his less of acumen for that particular offense and going to try to run around and escape, he's going to make a lot of hero plays here. He's going to be under duress. A broken down offensive line against this team has been a disaster for every opponent that we've played. So knowing that the Eagles come in with injuries across their offensive line, Jalen Hurts can be running for his life. And if Washington's going to win, it's going to be because of how the defensive line plays.
Really quick, before I let you go, I want to go beyond this matchup with the Eagles, because there's two storylines here that coincide with the Giants. And one is Dwayne Haskins. You know, there was a lot of talk and speculation that the Giants were going to draft Dwayne Haskins. I know for a fact that he wasn't even on their board. They weren't even interested in him. But there's also speculation that the reason that Washington drafted him is because of Dan Snyder and how Dwayne is friends with his son. And can you clarify that for us? How did that go down, and how did Dwayne Haskins end up in Washington, Bram?
The owner wanted him. I mean, that's pretty well, you know, documented. And from everybody I've talked to, no one really denies this, that like the front office, which was essentially ownership, Bruce Allen at the time, who was really, you know, working directly with the owner. This was the first time. This had happened a lot in Dan Snyder's early tenure of the owner of ownership, but this was one of the first times in recent memory that it happened where he stepped in and said, this is the person he wants to bring in. Happened with RG3 too. There were better reasons to do it with RG3 at the time than they were with Haskins. Every single football person that you talk to, and maybe some of them just want to wash their hands of it and absolve themselves of it, said that they didn't have a problem picking Haskins. They just didn't believe it should have been at 15, that it should have been second or maybe third round, because he would not have been a first round pick. There would have been a lot less pressure on him to play. There would have been a lot different, you know, I think, possibilities of him developing. Honestly, I think if he was taken with that selection, I think things would have been dealt with differently in Jay Gruden's last year. And then this year, you know, I do think that some of this is a little bit of circumstance. I firmly believe that if they had a real offseason, that Kyle Allen or Alex Smith, if given the opportunity, would have beat him out. And he never would have been starting at the beginning of the year. And they could have said, we're going to develop him for another year. And we wouldn't be sitting here today talking about what we're talking about, which is, you know, promise unfulfilled, you know, bust draft pick, however you want to frame it. Like, I really think things would have been different if either one of those scenarios didn't happen, which was either picked lower and take the pressure off and not be forced to play him before he was ready, or full off season for the new coach to literally vet him out and watch him practice and perform and realize he's not ready and let a guy who is ready play instead of him. But here we are, and both staffs felt compelled to play a guy who they, in their own words, said that they didn't believe was ready to go, and so it was a bad situation all around, and everything that's been written around here, of course, is like, and this is why the owner shouldn't make the pick, you know? And I think that that's fair, and it's true, but I think it's more complicated than that. And the hardest part with the Haskins stuff is really, anyone who's met him and knows him, he's a good kid. Like, he's not a bad guy. Like, he's not a troublemaker off the field. I know the pictures from the party at the hotel the other night don't look good because the timing of it and COVID and all that stuff. He's not a bad person. He is a good guy. He does a lot in the community. Grew up in this area. We wanted him to do well here. It didn't work out. And it's not just him and his lack of growth and maturity in the position. It is the circumstances he was put in. And that's really the unfortunate part of this whole thing.
Last but not least, Chase Young. When you talk about him, when you think about him, do you go back to that win with the Giants beating Washington and handing him over to you guys on a silver platter?
I mean, like, that guy is the most important person that's come into this organization since RG3, and the most devastating defensive player who's come in here since Sean Taylor. And, like, what's different about him than Haskins is that he is beyond all in about all of this. Like, if you get the chance to talk to him or meet him or be around him, you'll see he has all this reverence for the people who came before him, including the people he replaced, like Ryan Kerrigan. We've seen these mic'd up segments with him with NFL Films where he's going up to Mike Tomlin and just paying respects to him and Big Ben and stuff like that. Everything that comes out of his mouth is team and how he wants to get better. And all we heard about him coming in was like, this guy doesn't need to be pushed. He's like a film junkie. He is going to be there. He's for his teammates. He's all about football. And he's an athletic freak. And I think you guys have seen that now. And the reason why they even have a chance to win the division are some of the game-changing plays that he makes. And it's just the beginning. I mean, that's really, for us, the best part of it. Like, we feel like we have J.J. Watt or Khalil Mack or whoever on our team right now. We haven't had a guy like this at that position, I feel like, since Dexter Manley. And so it's been a long time, but unlike Haskins or some of these others, it does feel like, short of injuries, this is promise is going to be fulfilled here. I mean, this guy is amazingly great.
Bram, awesome stuff as always. good luck. I'm rooting for you guys. I mean, with all that Ron Rivera's gone, I am. I told you on your show this week, you know, all that Ron Rivera has gone through in regard to his battle with cancer. Alex Smith, if you watched again that documentary with Stefania Bell, you know, I hope Ron Rivera wins Coach of the Year, Alex Smith wins Comeback Player of the Year, and you guys get to the postseason. I think it would be a really phenomenal, one of the best storylines, especially in a COVID, you know, NFL season. So I'll be rooting for you guys.
I see if you agree with this. I said this midseason. I really feel like the future of this division are these two teams, Giants and Washington. Like, they're the ones with the upper trajectory. Like, I don't know what Dallas is going to do with Dak, and they got problems. And I don't know what's going to happen with Philadelphia. Wentz, Peterson, Howie Roseman, and a reckoning of their cap. Like, that team's going to look very different next year. They might be a shell of themselves. Like, we're talking about these two teams fighting for the division for the next few years, I think. That's what I think it's going to play out like.
Your mouth to the football god's ears, Bram. Thank you, my friend. Hey, happy holidays. Yeah. New Year. I'll talk to you next year.
Maybe we'll get to see each other again. That'd be nice.
That would be great. Happy New Year, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yep. See ya.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.